Okay. I am behind in correcting the cold that I had did me in this weekend, and I spent more time on the couch than I did in front of the computer. I got some of it back. Hopefully, I'm feeling better, so hopefully tomorrow I'll get a lot corrected. Let's see. This is enrollment verification week. If I haven't heard from you and haven't gotten something from you, an email from you or whatever, then I assume you don't exist in the class and I have to drop you. So be sure that if you haven't been in touch, and I think this applies more to the people that I'm talking to on the tape recorder than it does here, but if you haven't been in touch, you have to get in touch. The reading. I'm asking you if you bought the book to read chapter one. If you didn't buy the book, you might go to Amazon. In the first chapter, a lot of it is available if you just click on the look inside feature. And the first chapter, as far as I'm concerned, is the one I think is most important in the book. So you can go to Amazon and do the look inside, and you can find the first chapter. An alternative to reading that is a list of things that I've got up here that kind of go over some of the all the things that are in the first chapter that I think I want you to understand. So if you don't have the book, you should start reading through at least the basics in those kinds of handouts. Okay? So, now what I want to do is start looking at logic, because that really is the main part of this course, is to look at logic and understand the processing of logic and how it works to make your programs work. So we're going to go through this practice exercise up here and look at problem one to start out with. This is written in what is called pseudocode. And pseudocode is basically a way to write out the logic to solve a problem without actually writing the programming language. So it lets you think through. We've seen little segments of flowcharts. That's one way of looking at things. Pseudocode is another way. So I have a pseudocode example up here, and we are going to go through it and follow the logic. To be considered a programming language, okay, so this is pseudocode. To be considered a programming language, you have to be able to handle three things. You have to be able to handle sequence. You have to be able to handle if decisions. And you need to be able to handle repetition, which is loops. And you need to be able to handle those three things to call yourself a programming language. HTML is not a programming language because HTML can't handle ifs and it can't handle loops. It can handle sequence just fine. Do this, do this, do this is sequence. But it can't handle the other things. So HTML is not considered a programming language. To make up for that, and we will look at that later in a few weeks, to make up for that, there are a lot of languages that can be inserted inside HTML. And one of those is JavaScript. And they can be inserted in HTML to make it have the power of a programming language. Okay. So, this piece of pseudocode has in it a if statement and a loop and sequence because I drop down one instruction at a time. So it meets the requirements for a programming language. Notice all of my variables I defined up at the top. I said stat, and I define my variables. This one I messed up on because I put a embedded space in it there, and further on down, I did it the right way without the embedded space. So okay? Now, that doesn't matter in the pseudocode, but it does matter in programming. So that space shouldn't be there. Okay, so I'm going to go through the logic on this. So I have something called firstNum, and that's a variable. A variable means it is something that is stored in memory, and in the course of doing the program, I can change it because it can vary. So a variable is stored in memory, and I can change it. And I had a capital N on that. And then I have secondNum, and that actually should have been a small s. I'll get it right by the time I get to the next one. thirdNum. Got it right. And then the result. So those are four memory variables that are being set up in memory, and they are going to be used while I do this problem solving in the pseudocode. SecondNum has a 5 in it, thirdNum has a 12 in it, and the result has a 0 in it. Okay. When you're writing a program, these variables are available for the duration of the program under the name that I define them as. After the program's done, they may still be there, but they're not available to you. So it's like they're not there. Okay, so I start out and I set up my variables. And then I said, do while secondNum is less than or equal to thirdNum. Okay, so secondNum, 5, is less than or equal to 12, right? So that means I go into the loop. If it wasn't equal or less than or equal to, I'd get out of the loop. But I met the condition of secondNum is less than or equal to thirdNum. So I met that condition. So I drop down into the loop. And the first question in the loop is firstNum greater than 500? Okay? It's not. 100 is not greater than 500. So that means I take the else. If the condition is not true, I take the else. And the else says, okay, take firstNum, add 100 to it, and assign it back to firstNum. So take firstNum, add 100 to it, and assign it back to firstNum. Okay. The equal sign is called an assignment sign. Okay? Because in fact, what I'm not doing is declaring two things equal. I'm saying do the calculation on the right and assign it to the answer on the left. So as far as equal is concerned, firstNum is not equal to firstNum plus 100. But when I think of it as an assignment sign, take firstNum, add 100 to it, and put it back in firstNum. And that's what it means when I'm writing this in programming. Take firstNum, add 100 to it, and put it back in firstNum. So firstNum grew to 200. And then I said, take thirdNum, subtract 1, and put it back in thirdNum. So 12 minus 1 is 11. That takes me to the end of the if. And it also takes me to the end of the loop. Now with a loop, when I go to the end, I loop back. So now I ask the question again, because the loop is going to be done over and over and over again until I no longer meet the criteria. So I'm saying, is secondNum less than or equal to thirdNum? Okay, is 5 less than or equal to 11? Yes. Okay, so I drop down. Is firstNum greater than 500? No. So then I hit the else. And I say, okay, take firstNum, add 100 to it, and put it back into firstNum. Take thirdNum, subtract 1 from it, and put it back into third note. Okay? That's the end of the if, the end of the loop, and I go back. Is second num less than or equal to third num? Yes, it is. Aren't you glad a computer's doing this and you don't have to? Okay. Then I go in and I say, okay, is first num greater than 500? No, it isn't. So I take the else, I add 100, and I get 400. And I subtract 1 from third num and put it back in third num. So I've now got 9. And then I loop back. Is second num less than or equal to third num? Yes. So I say, is first num greater than 500? No. So I add 100 to 400 and put it back into first num. And I subtract 1, and I now have an 8. Okay, then I loop back. Is second num less than or equal to third num? Yes, it is. Is first num greater than 500? No, it's equal to 500, but it's not greater than. So I take the else, which means take first num, add 100 to it, and put it back in first num. Take third num, subtract 1 from it, and put it back into third num. Then I go back, is second num less than or equal to third num? Yes, it is. Is first num greater than 500?
Yes.
Yes. So this time I say, take first num, multiply it by 2, and put it back into first num, and take second num, add 1 to it, and put it back into second num. Okay? Then I drop out, because I don't do the else. The else is only if I got a no to the condition. So I drop out of the if. I go back to the loop. Is second num less than or equal to third num? Yes, it is. Is first num greater than 500? Yes. So I take it and multiply it by 2, which gets me up to 2400. And I add 1 to second num. I take the content of second num, which is 6, add 1 to it, and put it back in second num. So now I've got a 7. Drop out of the if, drop out of the loop, and I go back. Is second num less than or equal to third num?
Yes.
Yes, it's equal, right? It's less than or equal to, so it's equal. So I go into the loop one more time. Is first num greater than 500?
Yes.
So I double this and make it 4,800. I add 1 to second num and make it 8. And I drop out. And then I go back and say, okay, do while second num is less than or equal to. 8 is not as less than or equal to. So I drop out. Okay, I can't enter the loop because I do not meet the criteria, so I drop out of the loop. Now I say, okay, add first num, which is 4,800, and second num, which is 8, and third num, which is 15, and put it in the result. So there's what the result is. And then I said, display the result. So it's displaying 4,815 on the paper or on the screen or wherever I'm displaying. Okay? So that's following that logic and coming up with an answer. And the wonderful thing is about computers is it can do that in a couple of seconds and always do it right. And the bad thing about humans is it takes us much longer and we make callous mistakes. So we don't necessarily get the right answer. Okay, I want you to do problem 2. So follow the same technique that I just used and do problem 2. And I strongly recommend paper and pencil for this exercise. It's not as much fun to do it on notepad or something. Would you sign and pass around? Hello. Hello.
Unfortunately, you just missed what we did, so when we get to doing it, Lindsay can help you a little.
Okay, thank you.
But we're now in class doing a second exercise based on the first one.
Do you want me to go over the first one with her, or do you want her to leave?
Yeah, I'll probably go over the first one with her.
When you get to her page, it's under this week, it's practice assignment, or practice exercise, it says. So we can open that up.
Oh, I also should say, I'm a coward, so I'm going to be leaving shortly after 2, as opposed to staying, because I live an hour to the north, and I want to get home before the snow gets bad, if I believe the weather. It will probably be nothing. But
Well, I guess my father was saying, when there was the big snowstorm in the 70s, they said it was going to start like in the afternoon and be flurries.
Yes.
You know, so you never know what to believe.
Yes, right. If you want to talk to the person next to you, that's fine.
I mean, try to figure it on your own, but you can also talk to someone who has more variables. They can have that. Is it? You know, it goes through different steps. This is the first one we went over. Let's see on the product when you have your variable names and your values. You start with the first number. It's assigned value of 25. You know that. So then when you get down to the denial, that is a loop. So that's where you have
that's what it repeated from?
Yep. With the values that you have.
Based on the values that you have. So all this loop will repeat once it gets the new one?
Yep. On that circumstance. So that's showing that you are in the loop. Yep, it stops when a condition is not true anymore.
Yeah, now you can see both of them.
Okay, good. So the first one is one. So we have our initial values at 100, 5, 12, and 0. So we have those two ones, second numbers, and then equal to 3. So we check that. We have 12 and 5. So that's correct. That condition is true. Then we go down to the if statement. If the first part where it says if isn't true, you drop down to the else. So if the first number is greater than 500, which is not, you go down to the else. So instead of going with the first number or the else. Right, see if you look directly under the if. Mm-hmm. So you go down to that condition.
Oh.
Because of that if statement's not true.
Okay.
So you go to the else. Then you do that. So you go first number plus 100. So you have 200, and then you do third number minus 1, so you get to figure take 1 from there. Essentially, you just go through that process. I added 100 to this, so it becomes 200, and then I added, well, I subtracted 100, and you go through that loop until the top condition of the loop is untrue itself. So you stop doing the loop when the second number is not less than or equal to the third number. Does that make a little bit of sense? Yeah. You're going to go over the second one, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You just go through the process. So I'm just going through it real quick. So we added
less than the third one.
So it's that. Mm-hmm. So the first number and the first second number.
Mm-hmm.
Those are variables.
Those are variables.
All of them have to be
if they are less than 500.
When you get to that point, when first number, only the value and variable first number, that's where you check your condition. So if you want to open it, just go to Firefox and open the page. It'll get more easy. Not today. Dave will be here tomorrow. And he should be here tonight. And, yeah, I'll be here for a while. She has all the allergies. You can just go to...
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
That's fine. So we're looking at the first one. Then. If you have a notebook, it would be good to run through. So what I do,
because I handed it one. Well, really? Well, I was looking for it.
Yeah.
I handed it. I kind of thought.
So how I start these and how she starts them is you put variable names like this, and you put their initial value underneath them. So I put first num, second num.
And that's what the name is called. The name is
the variable first num. And then I put the initial value underneath it to begin. Yep.
Oh, it is.
No, that's a very good idea. And then the result. Okay. Your initial value is to begin with, so you have 100 for first one. So then you go into the loop. Do while second number is less than or equal to third number. Is that a condition true?
Is it second?
Less than
third?
Cool. So then we go down into this if statement. If first number is greater than 500, is that true or is that not true? Not true. So then we go down to the else and we do this execution. So we go. First num, we're going to assign first num the value of itself plus 100.
Yeah.
So first num becomes 200. Yeah? And then what do we do for third num? What does third num become?
Minus
1. So what value is
that? Start out by doing what I did. First num, second num, third num, fourth num.
It's very repetitive. You know what I mean? So then we go to
then
the end.
Come down and then set
the while loop. Then we go back up into another variable. Check the condition again. Comes from second num, less than or equal to third num.
Oh, and we'll have to figure out what we think the one in the hand do this.
Yeah, we go down to this, and then we go back up into it. And you do that until the condition is not true.
So those are memory variables, meaning they're areas like set up in memory.
It's like no greater.
Yeah.
Keeping notes on it. So you start out to say they count less than 6.
Not until we get to the point where 500, well, until the first number is greater than 500.
The first thing is going to schedule it and first num, second num, and assign it to a hand sum. So first num and second num, and then it says if is work answer greater than third num.
Okay, no, but I got to get this.
So you take the
if. That, right?
You have to learn it out.
And you do and the things underneath
what do you do there?
If work hands a hundred greater than...
And then it'll subtract.
Yeah. The still less than. Then you do the things right under the
ear. Yeah. Okay. Go back up into the loop. Is that true? Second number?
Yeah.
Let me see, second number is first. Yep,
first number.
Okay, so that was the second
number.
Okay. So if that's
every
true,
time you go down through the loop, it adds one to count.
First number is not
first. So count keeps growing by one every time I go through the loop. Eventually, count will no longer be less than 6, and that's what's going to get me.
Okay, this one should be greater than that.
Yep.
So to the L.
Yep.
But if it were,
you would do what's underneath, just right there.
Okay. We'll get to that. It'll turn out that way.
And you're like the size of the cash.
Oh, yeah, right? All right, so in order to...
It is the lesson.
I keep doing it until count is less than six. When count is, I'm sorry, while count is less than six. While count is less than six.
Let's see if it makes sense. So yeah, and then while we'll go back up here, if the condition's still true, then you have to do whatever you have that. That's not true. Go to the yellow. Yep, I want to get the penalty. $500 for the first number and the other yellow.
So first one and second one would be 75. Puts it into your account.
Now the fee is going to be...
Well, it's still not greater than 500. So we have to run through it one more time. So what does that be?
It's not.
So then we go do while that's still true. The do while part's true. If the first number is greater than 500, which it is, we do these things.
You don't know the first number times two.
What? Right underneath it, because it's still putting that value to the first number.
Okay. You lost them.
And then second number.
Okay. So you lost it.
Yep.
So I start out and I set up the area.
Nope, you can leave it just like that and go back into the loop. Is that still true?
Then I say, okay, do while
count number less than six.
Well, I know the count is zero, so clearly that's less than six.
That's fine, you're good right there. Okay, so your second number is still less than third number, so we can go into the loop again. If first number is greater than 500, we'll do this again.
Start doing the stuff in the loop. And if the loop starts with the do, if you want to be in the loop,
yep, you'll times that by two.
When that condition is not true, it won't prove what is inside.
Yep, you're good.
Okay. So add if one the condition is true, which is
that count also zero is equal. Yeah. Yep. So do while second number is less than or equal to third number. Which is true. It's true. So you go into loop one more time.
Okay.
So first number is greater than 500. So do that again.
Eight first. Okay. Add second number.
That becomes eight. So this condition is not true anymore, right?
So that's there. Right. And put that into loop.
Okay, yes. So that becomes seven. We don't have L.
Nope.
Then you say, yeah.
You don't do the outs when you do the end. You're doing only one of these each time.
It's greater than the
end of the loop. Yeah.
So we drop down and do the else. So we drop down and do the else and do all three things. So the first thing we do is say, take the first
and out of the loop, right?
Yeah.
Go up here, check the condition. The condition is false now. Because the second number is greater than the loop. Then we drop out of the loop and while loop. Right? Then we calculate the result. So the result goes first number, second number, third number. You add those together and put it in the result.
And that's the end of the
So this is the same idea. You have them all there, but that's the only difference.
So count is going to increase by one.
Okay, can I put one in the
end? Yeah, go ahead. I'll just say here.
Until count is no longer less than six. So then you get the end loop, and that sends you on to check again. That's right. Okay. That's how I keep track. That's right. And my numbers keep changing, so that's how I keep track, is just making lists of them. Yes. That's right. Right before you hit the end of the field and go back, you add one to count. Okay? Anybody think they have the answer?
It's a six-digit answer in the circumstance of the name of the variable.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get a six-digit answer? Okay. Okay, I don't have it yet, so she'll go through it.
Yeah. It's real easy to mess up.
Do you know what the answer is?
ID didn't look.
He has it. That's what he was asking.
Who has it? Right there. Okay, what do you got? Six digits?
Yep.
Okay, it's probably it. Read it to me.
132,430.
That sounds right. I know how to cheat and find out.
So all these variables are ZT/OR?
Yep. So this is weird because we always think about just an equal sign. That's kind of called an assignment. So you're assigning 25 as a value to the variable named first known. That makes sense? You're assigning it to that. It's not equals because first known would equal first known. You know what I mean? So that's assigning 25 to first known. Makes sense?
That's how you basically
get what's in the ES. Okay,
got it. That makes sense.
132,430. Did everybody assign the attendance?
And then the last one after the
this would be your result. Nope, you don't need the result. That's the answer is pretty much your result. It's just a different variable name.
Makes sense?
Yeah, baby.
Cool.
So I go into yep. You put in the values to start with for each one.
Weird, because I forgot to group the first one. I was like, oh shit, I'm breaking up. No.
Work answer.
Okay, how are you doing?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is well, take a look at the very last statement. That's what everybody would be messing about.
Mm-hmm. So what do we do? Yeah. Oh. Go back when it says and do. So we have one more thing to do, right? Yeah? And then what do you do with CT?
Done.
Nope.
And then you go back one up here to the do.
1, 3, 2.
Yep.
1, 3, 2.
Yeah, and we'll do the trend by this. Mm-hmm. The loop from end do to do while. That's the loop. Yep. So you do whatever is in the loop when that condition is true. And then when here, if, you pick which one you choose based on what you have
resolved. That's the right answer, so if you didn't get that one, look.
Oh, don't worry about it.
The wrong one. Got it?
You do the work answer equals first one plus second one again.
Did you get it?
Yep.
And thanks for computers.
Nope, so let me see. So fourth, let's do it in order. Fourth gnome equals fourth gnome divided by two.
So that's just a manual way of doing it?
Right. Yes, and it's very prone to callous mistakes. I mean, I've done this, I've used this exercise multiple years, and 1 year I did it wrong. And yeah, no, I made a mistake in my adding, subtracting, something along the line, and the whole answer was wrong. All right, right. No, that's what we're looking for, is the process. But it's also nice to get the right answer.
Yeah, I got it right on my second try.
If you're sitting here bored, feel free to look at the first problem in the homework assignment and do that. It's the same kind of thing. So, logic assignment, right. And you can go in and start doing that because the first few examples are doing the same general thing that you just did.
Yep.
So, you can start with that if you're bored.
Yep.
How are we doing? Anybody getting it?
Okay,
that's good.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to give you a few more minutes and then I'm going to do it.
Yep.
Okay. If you're done and want something to do, the homework assignment, the first couple of examples are something similar to this, so feel free to go to the homework assignment and start it if you've got the right answer and comfortable. Fourth number here. There, okay. You're only changing those right now. Okay. And you're changing your CT again?
CT to 3.
Yeah. Okay. Then you're going back up into your loop. Thank you.
her cancer is greater than her number.
Oh, greater than. Yep. Okay, yeah, so.
Yeah, she's gonna go through the whole process, so you can check your numbers.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so now we're gonna try going through it. And as I said, it's very easy to make human error in this. So if you see me doing it, let me know, okay? Don't let me go through the whole thing doing it wrong. Okay, so we start out and we have our memory variables. And those are set up in memory under those names. And they're given an initial value. And they're called memory variables or variables because they can vary, which means I can take and change them. That's why they're called variables. So I start out and I set up my 5, 7 memory variables and I've got them all set up. And then I said, okay, here is a loop. And the loop is from the do to the end do. Okay, that's what the loop is. So if I go through the loop, I do everything inside the loop. When I hit the end do, I go back and check to see if I should do it again. So the first one says do while count is less than 6. Well, count is 0, so that's less than 6, so I go in. Then the next thing says take first known, which is 25 rather. Add it to second known, which is 50. So that gives me 75. And assign that to work answer. And remember, I'm assigning it to work answer. I'm not checking for equal, I'm assigning it. Okay? So in a calculation, the equal sign is an assign. Then I say, okay, is work answer greater than third num? Well, third num is 75 and work answer is 75, so nothing's greater than nothing. So I take the else. If the condition is not true, I take the else. And the else says, take first num, add 10 to it, and put it back in first num. Take second num, add 10 to it, and put it back in second num. Take third num, add 10 to it, and put it back in the third num. That's the end of the if. So those are all of the things that were inside the else. These are all the things I want to do if the condition was false. If the condition was true, I want to do those things. So now I've hit the end if. The if is done. So I say, okay, add 1 to count. So count is now a 1. And the way I add 1 to count is say, take count, add 1 to it, and put it back in count. So count is now a 1. That's the end of the do. So I go back up to the loop to see if I should do it again. Whenever I hit the end do, I'm going to check and see if I should do it again. So I said, okay, is count less than 6? Yes, it is. So therefore, I go in. Work answer equals first num plus second num. So that's 35 plus 60. That's 95. So work answer is now 95. Then I say, is work answer greater than third num? Is it? Yeah, 95 is greater than, 85. So then I say, okay, now take fourth num and divide it by 2. So it was starting out at 100, it's now 50. take fourth num, divide it by 2, and put it back into fourth num. Take first num, multiply it by 3, and put it back into third num, first num. So that's what, 105? Okay. Then I said, okay, take first num, which is 105, minus second num, which is 60, that gives me 45, and put that in for second num. So take the 105, subtract 60, and that gives me 45, and put that back into second num. So I've got 45 there. Okay? And then I said, okay, take third num and multiply it by 2. So I'm now at 170. And put it back into third num. I drop out of the if because I don't do the else because the condition was true and I did the first part. The else is only if the condition is false. Okay? So I drop out, I add 1 to count. And then I go back. Okay, did I make any mistakes? You who have the answers, keep track of me. Okay, so then I go back. Is work count less than 6? Yes, it is. So I go into the loop. And I say work answer equals first num plus second num. Okay, so first num plus second num is what? 150. So I'm putting 150 in work answer. Is work answer greater than third num? No. 150 is not greater than 170. Okay, so it's not greater. So what do I do if it's not greater? I go to the else. And the else says add 10. So I've got 115, 55, and 180, right? Okay. Then I end the if, and I add 1 to count. Take count, add 1 to it, and put it back into count. Assign it back to count. Then I go back to the undo. Is count less than 6? Yes, it is. Okay. So I now go in and say work answer equals first num plus second num. So what's work answer now? 170. And then I say, okay, is work answer greater than third num? Is it? No, right? So I'm going to take the else, right? So I'm adding 10. To first num and putting it, signing it back to first num. Add 10 to second num, assign it back to second num. Add 10 to third num, assign it back to third num. And that's the end. I add 1 to count. Okay, so count keeps growing on me. Then I go back and I say, do while count is less than 6. Okay, so it's less than 6. Work answer equals first num plus second num. So what is it now?
190.
Okay. Work answer equals first num plus second num, so it's 190. Is work answer greater than third num? No, they're the same, right? So that means I got a no, it's false, so I take the else. And I add 10 to first num, to second num, and to third num. And then I add 1 to count. And I go back up. Is count less than 6? Yes, it is. So work answer equals first num plus second num. So what's work answer now? 210. Is work answer greater than third num? Yes. So now I go through the if, the 4 things under the if, because it's true. work answer is greater than good enough. I mean, than good enough, yeah, of course. Okay, so what am I going to do first? Huh? That's right, and that will give me 25, right? Then first num, I take and multiply it by 3. So what does that give me? Then I say take first num, which is 405, subtract second num, which is 75. That gives me 330, right?
Yep.
So I now have 330. And then I said take third num and multiply it by 2, and it's now 400. So that finishes the four things under the if. When it hits the else, it knows it's done with the things under the if. And so now it drops out of the if and says, okay, count equals count plus 1, so count is now a 6. So when it goes back to the loop, it says, do while count is less than 6. Is count less than 6? No. So that means I drop out of the loop. I do not execute the loop. I leave the loop. Which means I pick up the command right after the undo. I pick up the command right after the undo. And that says, take first num, add second num, multiply by third num, add fourth num to get to the answer. Okay? So what's the first thing I do there?
Multiply second num.
Yes, because you have to do the mathematics order of operations, and multiplication gets done before addition. Okay, so I'm taking second num, which is 330, and I'm multiplying it by third num, which is 400, and that gives me 132,000. Then it says, okay, now add in first num. So I'm adding in 405, and add in fourth num, and so I'm adding in 25, and this gives me 1, 3, 2, 4, 30. And so the answer is 1, 3, 2, 4, 30. Okay, did it make sense when I went through it? Huh? I'm looking at the people who it didn't make sense to before. Did it make sense?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. So, yeah.
Is that a 3?
3, yes. Oh. 1, 3, 2, 4, 30. Okay. So that's how I go through this, is just taking it one step at a time. And when I drop down to something, that's known as in sequence. Draw, do this, then do this, then do this, then do this. Okay? The if statement has rules. If it's true, it does everything up to the else. If it's false, it does everything after the else. If there's not an else, if there's just an if and no else, then it does nothing if the condition isn't true. If the condition isn't true, it does nothing unless there's an else, because the else tends to send it. Okay? Questions?
So there doesn't have to be an else?
No. Okay, a loop, okay, so an if statement works like this. I ask my condition, and if I get a yes or true to the condition, then I do the code right below the if. If the condition is no or false, I do the code in the else. And that ends the if. Okay, that ends the if. I should have put the line down in between. Okay, so I do the code in the else. Here I do the code right below. Okay? So that's how an if statement works. Now, when we looked at these in Access, we didn't really look at an else because we were determining whether to write the line. And so we were basically making the conditions to write the line. And the alternative was do nothing. Don't write the line. So we didn't have to have an else there because the alternative was do nothing. It was else do nothing is what it basically was. Okay, now a loop basically needs to have three things. In this case, the count is called a control. It is what is controlling the loop. And there are other ways of looking at controls too, but for now we're looking at this. So the count is a control, okay? So if I want to have a loop, I need to set the control and know what it is to start out with. And I did that here when I said count equals zero. Okay? So I set it when I said count equals zero. Then I need to be able to test the control because it's controlling whether I want to do the loop or not. And the test is right there when I said is count less than six. That's the test. And then I need to change the control, because if I never added one to count, then count would always be less than six, and I'd be doing this forever, okay, because there is an infinite loop. So I make the change, and I made the change down here when I said count equals count plus one. So that's when I made the change. So with a loop, you need to set the control, test the control, and change the control. Okay?
So set the control,
test the control, and change the control. Okay? Now, if I look at the one up above, oops. Up here, I said the setting of the control was a calculation. Do a second less than or equal to third? No. Okay? So I had a calculation as the check. And I'm testing first and third number. So those were the set. I was setting them equal to something. So those were the set. And inside the loop, I always do a change. If it was true, I changed second number. If it was false, the change was to third number. But I made a change so that the condition was not looking at the same data. That the condition was not looking at the same data. So if it was true, I changed second num. If it was false, I changed third num. But either way, I changed something that went into that calculation. And so it met my criteria of making a change. The second one makes that, it's very simple. This one is a little more complicated. Okay, now we're going to go back and look at, if we have time, and if we don't finish it, we'll finish it on Thursday, practice continued. So bring up practice continued. Okay. So, in this one, I have a file. I have a file of data. And a file is similar to a table that we've been looking at in Access. The difference is a table is part of a database. A file can just be a standalone collection of data that I put someplace. So the file is probably somewhere on my flash drive or somewhere on a disk or somewhere someplace. But it's a file. The file is made up of records. I also put headers on this. The headers would not be on the file, but they would have been there when I first laid out the file, just like you did in Access when you laid out what was going to be the fields in the table. Well, I laid out these for the file. So I have right now four records on my file for four different people. And the EOF at the bottom stands for end of file. And it's a marker that gets put on a file so that the computer knows when it's processed all the data. Okay? And different markers go work different ways. But that the EOF stands for end of file, meaning I'm done with the data. Okay. So now going through this one, I said first, read the record. And I called the record pay record, and it was in the payroll file. So I read the first record. Okay? We'll make it black now. I read the first record. Then it says, do while not in the file. So it's checking, basically, to see if I successfully read a record. If I read in the file, then it knows it's done. So do while it's not end of file. So now I come in here and I say, is the overtime hours greater than zero? And for that first record, they are. Overtime hours is 10, so it's greater than zero. Okay? If the overtime hours is greater than zero, and it is, then I want to do this calculation. I want to first take pay per hour times regular hours. So pay per hour times regular hours gives me 800, right? Pay per hour times regular hours is going to give me 800. And that is stored, and it just went away. Nice. That is stored in regular hours. Now it only wants me right in here. Then I say, okay, now, if there are overtime hours, take the pay per hour, which is 20, times the overtime hours, which is 10, so that gets me up to 200, times time and a half, which gets me up to 300, right? So I now have 300, and I add the regular pay and the overtime pay and put them into total pay. So I did three calculations there, and total pay is going to be 1,100. Okay. Then I don't do the else because I did the part right below the if. I hit the end if, and it says display the total pay. So I'm going to display the total pay on a screen or a paper, but I'm displaying 1,100. Now it would probably be nice to display the person's name too, but details. Okay, I displayed the pay. Then it says read another record. So at that point, I come back up and it's all black now. Wonderful. I read a second record. Okay, so I read the second record. Now I go through. I read the record and now I go back up. And it says, do while not in the file. Well, I successfully read Ann Costa. So I am going to go on a process. Is the overtime hours greater than zero for Ann Costa? No. Okay, she's got zero overtime hours. So that means I take the else, and her pay is simply going to be her pay per hour times her hours worked, So I've got 25 times 40, and she's getting 1,000. Okay? So I then drop out and say, display that, and I display the 1,000. Then it says, go back and read another record. So I read the record. It hits the undo, and it goes back up. Is it not in the file? No, it's not in the file. Is overtime hours greater than zero? Yes, it is. So I take pay per hour times regular hours, which is 30 times 40. And that gives me 1,200. And then overtime is pay per hour, which is 30, times the overtime hours, which is 20, which is 600, times time and a half, which is 900, right? Check me. It's 2,100. And so I write out 2,100. And after I display, it says read the next record, so I read the next record. Okay? And this person is got paper hour and regular hours. So I've got 35 times 30. And then overtime is 10 hours, so that's 300. Times time and a half is 450. And so this person has 1,500. And I write that. And then it says go back and read another record. I read. I then go up to the loop, do while not in the file. It is in the file, so it quits. Okay, it is in the file, so it quits. So that's how I go through. I have a loop to process all of the records in the file and come up with the pay for all of the people. And that's how I go through and do that. Questions? Okay. If you go back If I go back here and look at your assignment for today, okay, the first example is very similar to the one we did in class, and so is the second and the third. And I gave you results so that if you get a one that's not in the list of results, you know it's wrong. Okay? Then I asked you to tell me, answer a question, and then I had you do another one. Now, this other one that I'm having you do, I said here, go and do what is called a procedure or module or subroutine, pick a name you like. So I told it, go do calculate, and the two parentheses tell it that it's going to go and do something. So I look for calculate, and there it is. So when I tell it to go do calculate, it goes down and does all of this. When it finishes and gets the return, it comes back and then drops down to the next line. So it is as if I took all of that code under calculate and pasted it right here where the do while is. But instead, I'm telling it to go do a module or subroutine. Okay, and so it goes and does it, and when it finishes that, it comes back. And again, it's like I took all of that code in the calculate subroutine and pasted it in the do while up at the top. It works the same way. So be careful of that with number 5. Number six is the same. Number seven is getting into the files that we just looked at. So I have a group of records, and you have to process all of these records. So you basically always are going to display two order. So you're going to display six answers. Six two orders. So you're going to display six answers. And the last two are similar. They're all, last three are all using files. In this one, I have a flowchart, and it is saying the modular subroutine is called check. So it's saying go do check. And in a flowchart, we make it with a rectangle with double bars. So I'm saying if it's not in the file, go do check, and when you come back, read a record. And then if you scroll down, you will see check. And there is check. So check is asking a bunch of questions. So if this is true, it says display or list on hand. If it's not true, come over here, continue on, display or list total inventory. If it takes this branch, display need to check. So you get a couple of numbers and you'll get a couple of messages. Okay? My strong advice to you is you do this fairly soon, even if you're not all caught up, because while you remember it, it's good, and because of where we're going in the next few weeks, it will make it life a lot easier if you understand this. So my suggestion is to do it. Okay, Lindsay's around from 2 to 6.
Thursday.
I have no idea what's happening today. I assume Dave's coming in.
I canceled that too. School closes that too.
The school is closing it too?
It's not email.
Okay, so therefore, there is no help after 2.
Yeah.
Can we print? Yes, I print.
There's a printer back there.
Yeah, I like hard copy.